My name's Barney, I'm an addict.
I'm Barney.
On the November 27th, 2014, I was due to go into a detox. Very near where I lived, it didn't take me that long to get there when I eventually got there. I woke up from an all-night session. We went through a couple of ounces of crack and the usual bit of alcohol and a few pills. And the moment I woke up the next morning, straight away, the first thing I thought about was scraping the pipe. I got up and I scraped that pipe and I smoked it off. And I was to be at 11 a.m. was to be in the detox. But totally slipped my mind. Popped a couple of pills and I had a drink and I just walked down to the park and I was talking to this down and out who was drinking his wine. I produced my special brew and I was chatting away. And the whole day went and it was 5 p.m. when the detox rang me up and says, aren't you coming in today? And it didn't slip my mind altogether. I had my bag packed with me. I just couldn't, it's change. I just didn't want to change, you know? It's a big step going into to get clean. They rang me at 5 p.m. So I managed to get there for about 8 p.m. that night. Yeah, I got in there. I walked through the door and I was pretty well out of my head. And straight away I felt fear. Fear is that thing that gets a lot of drug addicts. I was afraid of getting clean and having feelings, you know. I hadn't had a feeling in over 20 years. It was bloody great. So I went in there and I got to my room and I unpacked. And straight away I wanted to bolt. There was something in my head that told me, stick around. There was that little thread of hope, you know. What can be, anything can be better than what you've got, which is nothing. I didn't have my family, I didn't have my own property, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a woman, I didn't have anything. I had nothing. The gift of desperation. I was bloody desperate for recovery. I just couldn't admit it to myself. So the detox went through and I didn't sleep for 5.5 weeks. And I thought it was the end of the world. And I was getting all these feelings and I was crying and I was laughing and I thought, Jesus Christ, is this what it's like? My first time cleaning over 20 years. And I didn't want to go to rehab because I didn't want to finalise this recovery thing. I was all over the place. I could feel the hairs on my arms and my neck sticking up. I wasn't sleeping. I shaved my head in there. And on seeing that I had no hair completely, I shaved my eyebrows and I shaved my armpits and I shaved my chest. I must have been really crazy. But I thought it was natural, you know, yeah. So I was on watch. They thought I was going to flip. I got to rehab and that was, it was a deceleration because everything was chaotic. Because, you know, when you're surrounded by a lot of other drug addicts sick, you will be sick. But once you go into an environment where they're all ready clean, and abstinence and God and sober, the level of your withdrawals lowers. That's what it was for me. And they were all alcoholics in rehab. I was the only, like, opiate user. And all I could feel was the cold. This old building was freezing to me because I was still withdrawn. They were drug testing me in there and I was still showing positive for opiates. After 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I managed to give a clear urine, and they says, don't worry about it, we just gotta check you. And I started to fit in with the groups, and straight away I felt I didn't fit in with these people, because I thought I was special because I was not a heroin addict. And they accepted me in the groups, and they gave me lots of hugs, and I thought, this is weird, you know. And I would get these little outbursts of anger. Somebody cooked a fish pie and it was bloody dreadful. I kicked off. 3 months in there. No, 10 weeks. 10 weeks in there. And I kicked off. I was looking for any excuse. I said, that's it. I'm off. And I stormed out and I said, I'm scored. And I didn't have a penny on me. But that was me throwing a tantrum. The disease says to me, you're more than. Now, sometimes it tells me I'm less than. The disease told me, yeah, you're better than these, and you know what I mean? Go out and score, and you'll be okay. I'll look after you. But after a long walk, I kind of came down from that anger. I was glad I did. I ran my care manager, got another 3 months in there. I brought out a group that I wanted to drink. I didn't want to use drugs. So I'm still feeding my addiction. When I was in there, I made a great life-changing decision. Someone put it in my head, you should go to college, get yourself an education, because I'm street stupid. It was just all craziness in my head. And I applied for a college there, a college course, 3 years. Jeez, I nearly died when I said, 3 years, I studied for 3 whole years, I couldn't believe it. In here for 3 whole months. You know, I just couldn't see beyond the following week or the week after. And I went there for a test, English and maths, and they accepted me, and I was building myself up. My disease would tell me then, oh, you're not good enough, you won't get accepted. You're less than. Amazing, isn't it? The disease was banging away at me and banging that way at me, and they contacted me and says, yeah, we'd like to offer you a place on the course. So I done the course, and the first year I was kind of ambivalent still. Do I really want to be here? I don't fit in with these bunch of teenagers. They're all Snapchatting, and they're doing their nails, and they're all being explicit what they'd done the night before with their boyfriends, and only bringing teenagers. And I'm sitting there trying to be all composed, and I'm in recovery here doing it. And I got to know these kids. I always refer to them as kids. I got to know them, and they weren't so bad. Second year, and then the third year went, and I finished top of the class. Top of the class. I got the top whack of UCAS points, and all the time my head's telling me, well, you don't have to do this. Just ask. That's what I'm telling myself, but my head's telling me, no, you'll never do this. I done it. I'm leaving college. See, I had it in my sick head as well that I'll just take my diploma into a job, and I'll get the job on the strength of that. No experience. And I was listening to my head at that point. And right at the end of the college course, I started volunteering, because I realised my head was feeding me shit, and like it always did. And I believed it for a long time. So I started volunteering, I started learning how to take groups, doing one-to-ones, and doing all the stuff, learning their system, learning, you know, how to put data on. Yeah, I mean, because somebody says to me, yeah, log on to that. And it was totally different to college. And I looked at him, I said, what do I do? You know, I'm going to have a login. And he says, okay. This was all new to me. My sick old head would tell me, oh, man, they'd be crying out to employ you. They won't. So my recovery gave me that education. It helped me overcome the fear. I didn't come out of rehab very easily. I slid out onto some aftercare program and a move-on house. And in my head, I was saying, like, when you go back home, you're going to use. I know you were. And I trying to tell them, I'm not going to use. At this point, a year of recovery, I'm leaving this move-on house, and I get home and I find a crack pipe, I find my juggers, I found a lot of spoons and old needles, and I had no power over me at that point, but I quickly threw it down the bin chute, because just in case it did build power. And so I realised, oh, I've got a good chance here. Okay. Then in recovery also I made amends to my family, which was very important to me. My mother hadn't spoke to me in 6-7 years. And she'd nothing to say to me, nothing nice. And my daughter says, you can come over. I flew to Ireland and made amends to my family. It's probably the most valuable thing to me, seeing my mother again, because she's 79. And, she has a stand-up stair lift, she has a cinema frame on wheels, a little walking car. She's getting on, she's going blind and she's got hearing aids. But it's nice to make amends to my family, and as a part of that amends, I took my mother, my stepfather, my daughter and son-in-law out for a meal. And for the first time in, what was it, 50 years last year it was, the first time in 50 years I told my mother I loved her, because I can't say words like that. I still haven't cried in recovery, I'm still growing. And she looked at me as if to say, look, 50 years too late, son. But she looked at me and she went, okay, it's better than nothing. I also was applying for jobs. Now, I got a few months' experience behind me, and my head told me again that you're better than all them that are already working there. You've been volunteering, apply for this job. And I was really convinced I'd get it. And I walked in like I owned the bloody gaff, and I didn't get the job. And I really took it to heart. I started cussing them down. Not openly, looking inside this thing here. And I started to get more experience. And more experience. And then I started applying for jobs just to get the experience of being interviewed, because it's nerve-wracking. And there last month I applied for this job. I went to the interview and I got the job. Pays 27 grand a year, which is... the DWP don't give you that much, that. But that's a big lift up for me. Also, in that, they train us well. Mike, I was in training today, all day, today, yesterday and Wednesday. 3 days solid training. This is my fourth stint in the last 3 months of training. But it's a good organisation. They do train us well. Train us to be professional in every way. Forget the street. Forget all your language and all of that rubbish. Recovery's given me a lot. Recovery's given me also that freedom. What I call freedom. Freedom. Wake up in the morning. And the first thing I think about is, this is strange, this is my breakfast. It's food with me, And the first thing, I think about food, and then I think, when I've eaten, I can have a shower, and I can iron my clothes, and I can get dressed. And I can go out, and I can go to work, and I can do my stuff. Recovery's given me a lot, you've heard me. Thank you, I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Now we have some committee announcements. Literature and CD.
My name is Margaret, I'm the literature editor.